You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hey there, everybody. My name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I am Rita Delatorre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 114. And we, as usual, have an awesome show for you this week. Since it's debate season in the political arena, we are starting our great debates. And this great debate is going to be Star Trek, the original series, versus J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek. That should be fun. Plus, we have a whole bunch of new premieres that we can talk about, including Luke Cage and Timeless, the new time travel show, which I'll have a few things to say about. That'll be part of our rapid-fire segment, where we will be talking a whole bunch of stuff. We did want to have a Star Trek guest this week, but unfortunately, due to some family emergency issues, we weren't able to get that interview done. We're hoping we'll have that available for next week's podcast. And if not, I'm sure we'll come up with another great debate or something to talk about. Anything to add to that?
Nope.
All right, well, I guess we can get it started with rapid fire. Fire! All right, folks, here is rapid fire. Let's start off with Eric Kripke, the creator of Supernatural, doing a new time travel show called Timeless.
Yes, well, it's a good show. It seems fun. I'm definitely going to watch more of it, but, and this is a huge but,
it seems very, very familiar to a short story that I wrote that also I turned into a script and have been shopping around Hollywood. And then suddenly, this show, which is very similar in nature, happens to come on the scene. Now, I have no proof that the folks at NBC saw the script and developed their own show off of it. And honestly, there's no legal action that I can take because, frankly, they changed enough elements of the show to be different enough to basically
make it their own.
But all of the call signs are there, right down to closed time-like curve, which is the time travel principle that they're using to explain their time travel ability.
Which, mind you, has never been used in a time travel show movie thing before.
Correct. Except in our script, and now in Timeless. So, that's a hell of a coincidence, considering I was shopping this, like, about 8 months ago. But I'm not saying that they read my short story or that they read my script and just happened to do their own thing, but
there just seem to be a lot of similarities.
Yep. And let me tell you, folks, if they happen to go to Roswell, New Mexico and say that the time travel device was created by aliens, maybe there is something I can sue about. Speaking of Continuum Force real quick, since obviously, we won't be able to produce that into a television show since it's apparently already on the air, or something like that. We decided that we're going to go ahead and make it an audio show, and hopefully we will have some episodes to premiere later this year. So, that's probably the route that we're going to go, so keep an eye out for that. We will keep you updated. ContinuumForce.com, I believe, is still the website that's up and live. I haven't updated in quite a while, but you should start seeing some new stuff with it very soon. All right, up next, Luke Cage.
This was an awesome series. And not including David Tennant, because David Tennant was amazing in Jessica Jones. But I actually enjoyed the Luke Cage series even more than I did Jessica Jones. And I love Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I will say that Luke Cage's series was fantastic. I really liked the vibe of it. I loved his theme music. It was very funky. Definitely something that you could... Every time you got the... Wow, 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 you knew you were getting... He was about to kick some ass, so that was kind of cool.
Well, it's funny because the show takes place during modern times, but it had this very 70s vibe.
It did, yeah, you're right. It absolutely did. And, you know, there was a lot of musical cameos from R&B artists and hip-hop artists and
even
whatnot.
Even Wu-Tang.
Yeah, even Method Man from Wu-Tang Clan showed up. So, a bunch of cool stuff that... I mean, it was just a really cool show. I do agree with you. I think David Tennant was a much better villain than Jessica Jones, but... this one wasn't bad, you know, and the Willis Stryker character was an interesting villain to choose, and it was pretty good. I liked it. I thought it was a great show, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Agreed.
Now, up next, Fear the Walking Dead season finale.
Jason will have to tell you all about it, because I stopped watching Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes, we know. Here's my thoughts on the Fear the Walking Dead season finale.
Okay, you're gonna clean that microphone now, right?
Wiping it off here, okay. Yeah. A predictable death. I mean, it was the most predictable death you could practically have in the show. No other major deaths. And kind of an anticlimactic ending to the season. It was kind of... For a good season of Fear the Walking Dead, and it was a very good season, I actually enjoyed it a lot, it was kind of a disappointing end. Of course, we got plenty of teasers for The Walking Dead, which apparently starts in a couple weeks.
So, woohoo!
Woohoo. By the way, if you are a Walking Dead fan, or want to become a Walking Dead fan, but didn't want to watch 6 years of zombies eating people, there is going to be a special this weekend... for Walking Dead catch-up, you know, so you can actually watch this show, and they'll basically break it down, everything that's happened in the last 6 years, leading up to who's getting Lucille'd.
Well, and latest articles I've read, the season premiere of Walking Dead is going to be a two-hour episode.
Yes, so it's going to be interesting. I think I know who's getting Lucille'd, and I've told you who that I think that person is.
Yes.
Or persons.
Yeah, it could be more than one.
But it should be interesting, so stay tuned for that. And we, of course, will have full Walking Dead coverage when the season premiere actually airs. We will definitely be watching that. Next up, Westworld!
All right, Westworld is HBO's newest series. And let me tell you, it's interesting. I liked it a lot. I'm going to continue watching it. But it's people raping robots.
It's a little more than that. Come on.
Well, robots are being raped. Especially one who gets raped again and again. And then gets her mind wiped and then doesn't even remember the next day.
Well, all I can say is this is a series based on the Michael Crichton novel.
Yes.
And the guy that made Jurassic Park. It's an interesting sci-fi show, definitely. I enjoyed it, I liked it, and I think I will be continuing to watch it. It's one of those things where I'm not sure how far it can go, you know what I mean? I don't see this being like a 5-season type show.
No, I did find it very enjoyable. The premise behind the whole story is fantastic. Now, it really, really reminded me a lot of... You remember that movie called The 13th Floor?
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that a lot. And that was a really cool movie, I think.
It was a cool movie, and I can see the similarities for sure. So that basically does it for this week's Rapid Fire, and coming up next, The Great Debate. Hey, Rita.
What up?
Where in the world can we get Manos the Hands of Fate?
Well, it's a good thing you asked. You can go to our Transmissions from Atlantis store at the ESO Network store.
We have an ESO Network store?
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Awesome!
What else can you get in there?
Everything. We've got Doctor Who. We've got Wool by Hugh Howey. We've got books by you.
Hey, now that's class.
And not to mention, you can even pick up the Walking Dead omnibus volumes.
And how do people get this?
Well, all you gotta do is go to astore.amazon.com, Earth Station 1.
Alrighty then, I'm on my way. Alright, folks, it's time for the great debate. And this week's debate, unlike Hillary and Trump, we are doing Star Trek the Original Series versus Star Trek the J.J. Abrams version. And so we had a discussion beforehand, and Rita decided to take the J.J. Abrams version. And Rita, I will give you the floor for an opening statement. Why is J.J. Abrams' version the better one?
Well,
I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I had my inner Tim Kaine coming out.
Seriously?
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I have my 2 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, then. So no interrupting.
Go ahead.
Fine.
You're using up your 2 minutes.
Shut up. You're interrupting me. Stop it.
You're now up to 50 seconds.
Well, here's the thing for me with the J.J. Abrams. It was movies instead of episodes, which I think for me is a plus. We have fresh new faces. We have the original series being modernized with today's Hollywood special effects and movie magic and all that other stuff. But on top of that, and the greatest thing that I think the reboot has going for it is exactly that. It's a reboot. And it didn't just reboot the franchise, it rebooted the fandom as a whole.
Interesting that you went to the new faces card, because that's one of the biggest gripes I have about the J.J. Abrams version, is that they didn't stay to anything that
aren't you supposed to be making a statement about why you think the original series
is better? I am.
No, you're already getting into arguing mode. You're supposed to make your statement on why you think yours should win.
It's what started it all. That's all you really have to say, is that it is what brought us Star Trek. I mean, great characters, great acting by Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly and James Doohan, and then there's Shatner. But, I mean, with all the great acting, the great story, where they didn't have these amazing special effects and amazing huge budgets, movie budgets, to be able to create story, they actually had to write story. So the stories were better than probably anything that you saw on television at that time.
Really? You sure about that?
Yeah.
Every person wearing a red shirt would die. Every episode. Shatner always gets his shirt off. Every episode. And he screws the green chick. Every episode.
The green chick is not in every episode.
And let's not even talk about the fact that you have Native Americans or Romans or Western societies on other planets during their 5-year mission. How the heck was that possible? You call that great writing?
it had to be great writing because they had to use what they had available. And if all they had available was Roman outfits, then guess what? This is the planet of the Romans.
Doctor Who made it work!
Doctor Who made it work with cheesy rubbery costumes and horrible special effects.
Yeah, but at least it wasn't Romans on some planet 5 billion light years away that's never been discovered by another human being before.
Alright, well, I'm going to tell you why J.J. Abrams' version sucks.
Go ahead.
J.J. Abrams' version sucks because he didn't keep any of the original setup. You know, the way the Enterprise looked or the feeling of the entire Prime universe, right? He didn't pick actors that looked anything like their counterparts.
What?
He didn't! Okay, I'll give you Zachary Quinto, and I'll give you Zoe Zajanel, or whatever the heck her name is. But Chris Pine looks nothing like William Shatner.
Thank God.
And Simon Pegg, as much as I love him, looks absolutely nothing like James Doohan. The young kid that played Chekhov looked nothing like Chekhov. You know, he didn't even have the right hair color.
And McCoy?
And, well, McCoy was pretty close.
Come on.
I'll give you McCoy.
All right.
But, and of all the characters, only McCoy and Spock acted like their original series counterparts.
And I am very happy for that.
I am not. That's terrible.
I am. I never thought William Shatner was a great actor to begin with. Let me tell you about all of my things. Seriously? Thank God Chris Pine doesn't talk like that in the movies because it was always so obnoxious.
There, as much as I do not like William Shatner, the person, and I will freely admit that he overacts throughout every single thing that he does... Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But the Shatner style is what made Captain Kirk an interesting character. And, frankly, it was missing from Chris Pine's portrayal. It totally was.
I think if Chris Pine would have tried to pull that off, it would not have come out right. I think it would have been wrong.
Well, is Carl Urban's version of McCoy coming off corny? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but he didn't go on full...
Oh, he's totally...
McCoy from the original series.
He's totally McCoy from the original series. Give me a break.
It's a little bit, and then a little bit him as well. So it's not just DeForest Kelly. And I think it works that way. And then Zachary Quinto, well, I mean, it's Spock. Right. You're going to go no emotions, and I love how when he does get emotional... He gets very emotional because that's what Spock's supposed to be.
Well, let me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about, okay? So, and this is in regards to the looks of the people, right? There's a fan show called Star Trek Continues. They replicated the Enterprise. They replicated the uniforms. They replicated basically everything about the original Star Trek series, plus... They hired actors that looked like the original characters.
Hell, in some cases, they hired the original characters.
Exactly, right? So, they have basically captured what it was for Star Trek back in that time. So, here's what I have a problem with. This is supposed to just be an alternate timeline. This isn't supposed to be a completely different universe, right? So... In the first Star Trek, the Romulan ship goes back and changes the timeline, and Jim Kirk doesn't join Starfleet right at the beginning. Why does that make him look different? Why does that make Chekhov go from dark black hair to blonde hair? Why is Scotty suddenly look like he's on meth? I mean, it's...
Why? I'll tell you why. Because those actors, the older ones, you can't put them in new roles and continue it on.
I completely understand that.
Okay, so some of them look a little tad different.
Not a little tad. They're like a completely different person.
That still doesn't mean that... I think you're just looking too much into this. And then the ship. Okay. I get that the ship looks vastly different.
The ship looks like it's newer than the Next Generation Enterprise. How is that possible?
Because, again, it just has to do with what they had available at the time. In the 70s, they had what they had to work with in order to create a ship. And if you look at that ship, and you look at the interior, it has a very retro look to it.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
it looks too... It's modern. It's like totally modern. It's more modern than what they had in the last Enterprise.
No, I don't think so. And I like the look of the new ship because it looks cleaner. It's more vibrant. I noticed that they use a lot of white now, and I really enjoy the way the consoles look and the computers and everything. You're missing the point. The point isn't the way it looks, because it's obviously going to be drastically different, because you're talking from the 60s when the show originally started to now. The way things are going to be designed and constructed are going to be vastly different. People thought differently in those different time periods. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. So things are going to change. But here's the thing. You had the original series. Then you have Next Generation. You had Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. After all those shows were over and done with, how many years did we go without any new Star Trek at all, not counting the fan stuff? Like 10 years,
something
maybe?
Like that, yeah.
All of a sudden, here comes J.J. Abrams with a reboot of Star Trek. Yes, it created a whole separate timeline, but you know what? That created a good excuse to stick Leonard Nimoy in it, and he was fantastic.
Right.
You reintroduced Star Trek to a new generation of people. You have rebooted, you have rekindled the Star Trek fandom.
Well, I have no problem with J.J. Abrams doing Star Trek. I just say that the original version was better, and I also say that the way that Star Trek Continues does the original version is better than what J.J. Abrams does with the movies. I mean, J.J. has... For God's sake! Khan was a British white guy!
Hey, it was Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't care!
You cannot Benedict Cumberbatch!
Khan was a British white guy! Khan Noonien Singh! An Indian is a British white guy! Give me a break. At least Ricardo Montalban wasn't an Indian, but at least he could pull it off.
Yeah, with that tacky tan.
Well, maybe Benedict Cumberbatch should have gotten a tan or something.
And anyway...
Because he was milky white.
Khan in the movie, he was not as tan. He looked like a white British guy.
He did not. You are full of crap. The only white thing about Khan in Wrath of Khan was his hair.
And here's another point. You're comparing oranges to apples. The original series was that. It was a series. You're talking what? Were they half an hour or hour-long episodes?
Hour-long episodes.
Hour-long episodes, okay? Versus the new film franchise. Your episodes to films. You crammed a story into 1 hour-long episode, and in the films, you have an hour to 2 hours to tell your story.
That's what makes it even better, because they were able to tell a great story in less time. I got you there.
No, not really.
Yes, I did.
Because when you're still getting to the fact when, you know, you're landing on some planet during your 5-year mission, and there's cowboys, that's a problem.
Yeah, well, I will say this about the movies. It never captured the heart of Star Trek until Star Trek Beyond. Now, Star Trek Beyond felt like Star Trek, but the first Star Trek and the second Star Trek did not feel like Star Trek at all. It felt more like, I don't know, maybe Star Wars meets Star Trek kind of thing. And let's face it, J.J. Abrams was a Star Wars fan, not a Star Trek fan.
That is true.
And guess what J.J. Abrams is doing now? Star Wars.
And I will agree with you that the third Star Trek movie out of all of the movies was absolutely the best for the reasons that you're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
It really does trickle back to the original series, especially towards the end. But that still doesn't take... For me, I really like the cinematic parts of the movie. The special effects, the CGI. And that's the type of stuff that you didn't have in the original series, which is why, for me, watching the movies is more enjoyable.
So you prefer eye candy over story?
Not necessarily. The movies, to me, have story plus the eye candy.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this great debate. If you think Rita won, definitely post it on our forum. Vote in our poll. Did Rita win or did I win? Of course I won.
No, I mean, it's the original series. I won. The reboot rekindled the franchise.
Anyway, so we're going to move on to Doctor Who, coming up next.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one. Go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandorica? Takes the universe. But, bad news everyone. Cause guess who? Ha. Listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man, and I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero, and I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO Network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next!
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back? He's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the Doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me. And I'm just fine with that.
River.
When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the Doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me.
Sweetie.
All right, folks, you know that music, and...
Woo!
Yes.
Woo.
Thank you.
Woo!
We've heard it. Thank you. We don't need to hear it again. Appreciate it. And some big news for Doctor Who, where apparently there is a new guest star for the Christmas special, and he is playing a superhero.
Okay.
Interesting, yes? The actor is Canadian actor Justin Chatwin. He is the 33-year-old star who played Tom Cruise's son in War of the Worlds and starred in the U.S. remake of Shameless. He was last in American Gothic, and he's going to play a superhero?
Okay. I'm not sure I like where this is going for the Christmas episode.
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, seriously, I've got nothing.
I guess I'll just have to see it. But having somebody with superhero abilities in Doctor Who seems kind of odd.
Yeah.
It's something new, I'll give it that. It's something that I would never consider being in Doctor Who. But, yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
Yes. Also, we got some new information on Class, which, of course, is going to be starting up pretty soon, October 22nd.
We know Capaldi's going to be in the first episode,
yep,
at least.
Capaldi will be in the first episode, and we have, basically, the episode summaries. And so, if you're a spoiler-phobe, spoilers! So, the first episode is called For Tonight We Might Die. And, apparently, it's a new term at the Coal Hill Academy, and students are preparing for their autumn prom. But when the school comes under attack from the monstrous Shadowkin, four alienated students must form an unlikely alliance to defeat them. Charlie, April, Ram, and Tanya, assisted by their physics teacher, Mrs. Quill, are now charged with the great responsibility by the mysterious alien known as the Doctor to guard against the creatures of Nightmare, who want nothing more than to find a way through to Earth and to take it for their own.
Interesting.
Yep, and episode number 2 is called The Coach with the Dragon Tattoo. And basically this one is following the tragic events at the prom. A devastated Ram isolates himself from the other three as he struggles with his new reality. And it goes on with some other interesting stuff. And then towards the end it says, a horrific, monstrous, skin-peeling dragon. They know they're under attack.
Skin-peeling dragon. Okay, so just a reminder, guys. Even though this is called Class, even though it takes place in a school and there's kids in it, I don't think this is going to be a family-friendly show. In fact, I think this is more Torchwood-y.
Yep. So, sounds interesting. My interest has peaked a bit. I didn't think I would have any interest in watching this show at all, but I'll give it a chance.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, no. Of course. Especially if Peter Capaldi's in the first episode.
Yep. It might be our closest thing to actually having Doctor Who for the first, until Christmas, basically. So, it's our closest thing to Doctor Who, so we might as well watch it, right?
Yeah. So, Jason and I have been starting to catch up on some of the Big Finish audios, especially the Eighth Doctor ones. And the latest one, Doom Coalition 3, has now been released. I think Jason and I have listened to maybe the first couple?
Yes.
But this one we have not listened to yet. It's kind of on our list of Big Finishes to listen to.
Yep. And, of course, with the new deal with Big Finish and BBC to allow some of the new series companions join Doctor Who, or join Big Finish, we get the rare opportunity to have River Song and the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, together in the same Big Finish story. Can you only imagine?
Well, considering the cover for that Big Finish audio, you got River Song dressed up as a nun. Fun times! This is going to be fun times, I think.
It should be interesting, for sure. So, Obviously, the Doom Coalition 3 has a bunch of different stories. Not all of them include River Song. The first one's called Absent Friends. Then you have the Eighth Piece, where River actually joins in, and the Eighth Piece is the one that's going to be probably the most interesting of them all. For me, at least. And then the last one is called the Doomsday Chronometer. Oh, and I guess River comes back in the Crucible of Souls, too. So she's going to be in it a lot. And we've heard from some people that have been listening to it already that there are some interesting references, like to the girl in the fireplace and other things like that. So
nicey nice.
Yep. So definitely some interesting stuff for Doctor Who. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. Next week, we will probably have another great debate. I'm not sure what we're going to debate on. In fact, if you have any suggestions, feel free to leave it in our Transmissions from Atlantis. The Transmission is Received Facebook group. You know, you guys are welcome to post there, and you can post all kinds of different stuff. And definitely tell us if you have something that you want us to cover for the great debate. We're open to suggestions, so definitely give us some ideas of what to do. Otherwise, we'll come up with our own ideas, and usually they're kind of corny.
Ooh,
like,
I got one.
Like Twilight versus Harry Potter.
I got one.
What?
Star Wars, the Clone Series versus Star Wars Rebels.
Hmm, that could be interesting.
I vote Star Wars Rebels.
No, I'm getting Star Wars Rebels.
I called it.
No, I didn't even like the Clone Series.
Yeah, but at least you watched it.
Yeah, all right. Give us another idea if you have one. Also, just so you guys know, Seekers of the Lost Worlds post-production is continuing on. If you want the latest information on Seekers of the Lost World, join the Facebook group, The Digger Bar. In The Digger Bar, we talk about all kinds of cool archaeological stuff, in addition to a lot of fun stuff like
puppies.
Puppies and
bunnies?
Indiana Jones and
Indiana Jones puppies.
Indiana Jones puppies. And we also give you some behind-the-scenes stuff on what's going on with Secrets of the Lost Worlds, including pictures and updates. And every Sunday, Reed and I will be doing a Sunday with Seekers live video chat, which basically is just us talking about what's going on with the show. So that should be fun. And again, next week we are going to try to get that Star Trek guest in if we can. If not, then we'll make other arrangements. But until then, I guess it's time to wrap this one up. Allons-y.
Allons-y.
Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.